from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That'll be the first question at Media Day. Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you, I got an idea at Media Day, too. We can talk about it. We can do something different. I think you should
be
go.
Be there?
Yeah.
Doors
they won't locked. Let us there with our equipment, but you can go. You and Leezy.
Bust the doors open.
Yeah. Kick it open hella aggressively.
Yeah.
Have Leezy with a bump box playing the tribal chief theme, the OTC version, and then we'll do Media Day that way. You and James be there, and Jesse will just be here.
I'm with it. Will I get to do the show still? Like, am I gonna be?
No.
Oh,
they don't allow that. You could do it the way you could do it the way James did it.
Every now and
then. You could do it the way James did it. Remember how James set up
what did he do again?
He did the setup. And then whenever he could, he would run over, get in from the camera, and he'd be at Media Day, but he wouldn't be with anybody.
Right, right.
So we could do it that way.
Yeah, I won't have an interview there.
Because you're not allowed to talk to us at Media Day.
That's crazy.
I mean,
I'll say this. If y'all are listening, you better not never lose those rights, because I'll make sure you bitches never see the inside of the Golden One Center again. All the hell you've put us through the last 4 years. Yeah, no, go ahead. It's going to be the y'all better not lose them. Do not lose them because we will ruin your very existence. Y'all won't even be allowed to go to the Golden One Center for a concert without our permission.
Oh, man, we just trying to do our job, man.
KSFM can't be there on King's Day.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
All right, hold
on. That's a lot.
All right.
That's a lot.
We got you.
Is that what's going on right now when we trying to, like?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, for you. Oh, you were. Well, I think you were gone. The summer league. We was gonna put the KSFM stuff out there. Can't be there. Sorry, guys.
That's crazy.
Can't be there on Kings games. All right.
So if Danielle was there, they'd tell Danielle she couldn't be there because it's 102.5.
Yep.
Come on, man. Yep. Stop it.
Yep.
Stop it.
Got to be over there at Tiger or at the roller rink or ice rink or what? What is it right now? Is it a parking lot?
Yeah, just open space. They ain't even nothing.
Well, we'll just be over there in a space of nothing. Yeah, Media Day's not too terribly far away. It'll be fun.
But you were talking about the difference between with the thing that we didn't see with Beam Team 1, because we were talking about DeMar DeRozan coming in and possibly the level of respect that he commanded had those guys ready to do some work.
Well, one thing I was thinking of, one thing that coming out of Mitch's spectacular phone call, he was talking about Malik. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Malik is a sixth man. This is, you have to pay him like a sixth man, or you have to... You paid him because he was a great sixth man. It's fine. But there's also we don't know him as anything else.
Mm.
And that's the part, like, we've looked up, we've done the numbers. He's never started a game in Sacramento.
Right.
You know he's good off the bench. You know that. And that's a very, that's a great thing to have. Mm-hmm. He could be even better in the starting lineup.
And that's I'm glad you say that, because that's what I don't necessarily subscribe to when you talk about, like, oh, he's a sixth man, he's good as a sixth man, let him, you know, stay in that role. Well, we don't know. He could be better as a starter. The only numbers we have of him as a starter are better than him as a bench player. Now, who knows if that's going to be the case here in Sacramento, but I wouldn't rule it out just because you're like, oh, he was successful as a bench guy, leave him as a bench guy. I wouldn't rule out him starting because of that.
I think that's 100% why. I think that's 100% accurate.
He could be
find
be
out.
A great starting two guard.
That's right.
I keep going back to this, and I don't know if they'll be this type of duo, but I keep going back to CJ and Dame, and how they were a good starting backcourt. Little unconventional, not a lot of defense, not very tall or anything else like that, but they mm-hmm. were so dynamic offensively. I know we always look at it like, oh, it didn't yield a title or anything. All right, that's fine. But they won a lot of games. They mm-hmm. were, that was a really, really good team and a really, really good tandem for years. And, you know, who's to say that Malik and De'Aaron can't do that?
Yeah. The only thing that can keep us from saying that is we've never seen it.
Right.
We've seen them together on the floor. We've never seen them start a game together.
And to be perfectly fair, it's dynamic when they're together in the biggest
that's
moments.
Right. Yep. Like, the Kentucky connection.
The Kentucky connection is real. So until I see otherwise, I think we're going to see it. I think Malik is going to be the starting two guard.
You think that was a promise that was made or a discussion that was had? Because those aren't the same thing.
Yeah. I think a discussion.
Okay.
I think a discussion.
We had a couple of questions here in the Chatty House brought to you by Matthews Mattress. I'm hoping I can find this quick enough. I think I'm going to be able to ignore this sound for a split. I don't like the angle of this. Give me 2 seconds to find. Well, I guess we'll use this. Yeah, we'll use this one. This was a... Does this one not have sound?
Oh,
it doesn't. No, it's good. I picked the one that doesn't have sound, for goodness sakes.
I think it starts off quiet.
It does. This is Magic Johnson talking to Stephen A. this weekend about Anthony Edwards. I don't remember this remark, and if I do, I very faintly... I actually don't remember it. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards said Michael Jordan was the only skilled player from the 80s. Stephen A., with Magic Johnson here.
Edwards just said the other day that there really wasn't any skilled players in the NBA back in the day outside of Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Your response to that, Irvin Magic Johnson?
Well, you know, I don't never respond to a guy that's never won a championship.
That's out there now, and I have no problem with Magic Johnson responding that way. I really just don't love that this has become a thing, because we talked about Anthony Edwards, and I don't know why generations do this. The current generation will regularly diminish past generations. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we're the same two guys that were watching the 84 finals up here a couple of years ago. We're like, what in God's name is this? It wasn't the best, but to say that Michael Jordan was the only skilled basketball player back in the day is a little bit silly.
Yeah, that statement is crazy. It's crazy. It's a crazy statement.
And in Ant-Man's defense, like, I'm not trying to defend Ant-Man, because I think he started this conversation. How many times have we heard, oh, the Warriors couldn't hang with us. Today's players couldn't hang with us. They couldn't do what we do. They're soft. All these touch fouls. Boy, if the game was like this when I played. All right, man. That's fine. I guess that's fine, too. But it's tough when it's a guy who we all believe could be the guy. Mm-hmm. A potential face of the league candidate, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then that's Magic. Right. Like, this isn't, with all due respect, this isn't Rasheed Wallace. This isn't, you know, Larry Nance Sr. This isn't, you know, guys from, you know, pick a generation, you know, starting, I guess, in the early 2000s and moving backwards. Like, this is Magic.
Right.
And I don't like this being a conversation.
You know, I had this conversation with a buddy of mine a couple years ago, and he made a great point, and I agree with it 100%. He's 100% right. There are sophomores and there are eighth graders in this country that can dribble the ball way, way better than Derek Fisher ever could.
Mm-hmm.
Their handles are so superior, and what they can do with Euro steps and, you know, drop steps and footwork and all this other stuff is just so much more superior than a guy like Derek Fisher. He's not the only one, but that's the example he used, and I agree with it. They have no idea how to play the game the way Derek Fisher did.
Hmm.
Like all the stuff that you learn in training sessions and all this other stuff, like I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It helps if you got the right coach and if you're applying it right. But like all that stuff, it's not what matters. Like it's only a part of what matters. And I think a lot of the time these kids look at their skill set and they think they got it. No, you got to understand how to play the game. And when you understand how to play the game, you understand that like those super handles, you're not even going to use them that much. Like I used to train these kids a lot, right? And I used to look at them at other places, and I'm not here to down anybody, but they would, you know, go through all these moves and they dribble around this cone and all this other, and do all these seven step moves and stuff like that. And I'd be like, that's cool. Like you're working on your skills. There's nothing wrong with that. But when are you ever going to get a chance to do that in the game?
Hmm.
Like think about who does that. You're like, oh, this is the Harden tween, double step back, pull up. Yeah, James Harden can do that. You probably don't have that opportunity. You've got one or two dribbles and about half a second to decide to what you're going to do. It better be the right thing. Can you catch and shoot? Can you one dribble get to the bucket? And what, like, work on those things. And there's an understanding of how to play that a lot of these younger generation kids don't have when you compare it to Magic's era and even the era a little bit after that. They understood how to play the game. That's the reason why they go to, you know, these gyms. These 40-year-olds go to these gyms and still put in work. Because, yeah, they can't move the same way, or maybe the handle isn't as tight as some of the young kids, but they understand how to play the game. It's more than just your skill level. There's a mental component to it as well. And I wish that the generation today would, number one, recognize that and get better, because we want the game to elevate and evolve and get better. But understand also that, yeah, just because you don't think those guys previously were super skilled, respect their understanding of the game, respect their basketball IQ, and understand that that translates in any generation. What you do may not translate back then if you don't know how to play. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, it's always an interesting conversation, you know, the generation stuff, especially when it comes to basketball more than any other sport, bleeds into like greatest of all time conversations. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we're watching a game in 1984 with Magic in it, with Kareem in it, with Larry in it, and we're looking at it like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
What's watching a game with Bill Russell and Jerry West going to look like?
Right.
It's going to look different than that. I mean, we the you know, we had NBA TV on one day watching that 84 game, and then they jumped to 87. Mm-hmm. And you were okay. You notice, okay, the game's moving faster. This is a completely different basketball game, even in just these 3 years. My first look was, wow, the television production is different. Like it actually looks like it's meant to be presented on television now.
Right.
But shoot, I took us back to the 60s. What if you just went back to the 70s? What if you went back to before Magic, mm-hmm. and before Larry? Like the games evolve. These guys are great in their era.
Yeah.
But you can only judge them in their era.
Yeah. And I would also respect those guys too, to a certain degree where, yeah, the game may look a little funny back then, but I'm a true believer that the greats of any era would be the greats in any era. Right. Mm. So if Magic was transported into today's game, he would learn how to be great in today's game.
Point guard Magic, not forward Magic.
Point guard Magic. Forward Magic, maybe even too. Larry Bird.
Now, forward Magic wasn't around. Forward Magic was like, the hell with this.
Like, you put Larry Bird in today's game, mm-hmm. give him a month, his handles is going to be as good as any of these eighth mm-hmm. graders, and he's going to understand all this other stuff. Same thing on the reverse. Like, oh, LeBron was too soft to play back in the day. But LeBron in the 80s. Yeah, he'd get beat up a little bit, and then he'd adjust, mm-hmm. and he'd be the great LeBron that we know. So I'm just—he
would destroy Kevin McHale's whole life if he played in the 80s.
Mitch Kupchak wouldn't stand.
Oh my God! Oh man!
But I think the great players of any era would always adjust to whatever era they're dropped into.
Mitch is calling again.
Oh well, we usually don't do this, but come on, man.
But no, like I'm just looking, like what is.
What do you got to say?
Well, he might have lost track of the stations that he's calling, because I think he calls.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see a couple.
Let's see if he did.
He's probably calling to like clear up the names and stuff like that. Do you just put them through?
Just pot them up real quick. Just don't even say hello. Just pot them up. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Jesse. Elijah. I screwed it up again, huh?
That's okay, Mitch.
Oh, it's Damien.
I was about to say, you don't know Jesse's voice and Damien's voice? I was about to say.
We knew you had it, Mitch. It's all good, buddy.
You the man, Mitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I assume it was going to be Jesse picking up.
No, well, we saw you were calling, and we're like, you know what, just pick it up.
Yeah,
you put him right
just
on.
Talk to Mitch, man. That's our guy.
Balance out the work, as they say in my trade. Balance the work.
All right. We love you, Mitch. We'll come
Take
back.
Care, man.
I saw one of the most ridiculous headlines this weekend.
Uh-oh.
Involving Luka, Lakers, and your boy.
Who's my boy?
Kevin O'Conn, man. That's
on,
your
man.
Guy.
My boy.
James Hamm at the top of the hour. Whew, man, what an incredible finish.
Wow.
By the Aces in yesterday against the Sky. And we got to talk about Asia for a second. We'll do that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Back here, D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. Jesse, did you catch any of Mayweather Gotti 3?
I did not.
I didn't either. Like I said, at least it wasn't a melee. At least it wasn't nothing too crazy like that first one. That was a mess. But I did get a kick. I ain't gonna lie. I did get a kick, and I shouldn't. This is wrong of me. Trust me. Look, I hope everything's okay. I shouldn't laugh at this, but I was chuckling, just kind of in amazement of this and how ridiculous it was that the ref got fired mid-fight.
I think that was wrestling right there.
You think? No, I think Floyd really got
mad. There was some wrestling going on there, I think.
That was ridiculous. Now you're going to fire the ref mid-fight.
That really happened?
Yeah, Floyd fired the
ref. Oh, I was going to ask you about that. He fought Gotti?
Yeah, John Gotti the third.
Floyd runs the family now.
Oh. All right. Where did they fight?
Mexico City.
Yeah. But these aren't real fights. Nah, like he's not 54 and or whatever.
It's an exhibition. And like I said, in the 13th round, I mean, it's basically somebody like Floyd, you want to make easy $25 million?
You think that's how much he made?
I don't know. I'm just throwing out a number. But I mean,
who's giving this money to? Who's putting up this money for these fights?
$25 million seems insane.
I believe the number, but it's just
I don't think
it's Floyd, but
I would say my guess would be 10.
Okay. I could see that.
And it's like it's basically like somebody's like, "Hey, Damien, you want $10 million to go sit in front of this Walmart and hand out school supplies?" Sure. I know you said you were done handing out school supplies, but here's $10 million.
It's a hell of an analogy.
See, I'm with Drew down the like.
You had to spice it up. Standing in front of Walmart in Antelope.
There you go.
Hand out school supplies.
Oh, who's paying for this?
I don't know. No. I have no idea. But I know when it happens, like in Japan, like that's, you know, the Japanese sports department or whoever, casinos or whatever, they're paying because they do that all the time, you know, get somebody over there to, you know, they're paying $10 million. It ends up being a $15 million night for them. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it though.
What an incredible finish to the Aces and Sky last night. Kennedy Carter hit a tough three to tie the game. Chelsea Gray trusted Asia Wilson so much. She made a pass, an inbounds pass, after the timeout that I don't think Asia was even looking when Chelsea threw the pass. Yeah. It had to be timed perfectly. It had to be executed perfectly. And it was.
What a screen by Kelsey Plum.
And Asia gets the basket, wins, and leaves the floor clearly infuriated. The Aces had blown a 13-point fourth quarter lead.
Well, 13-point lead with like 3 minutes to go.
They have obviously been struggling. They're a bit of the talk of the league right now because of the fact they're not playing at the level that teams like Connecticut and New York are playing at right now. And she finished that game and just had that get the hell off of this floor look because this is not what we do.
Yeah, and that's coming off like a tough they didn't play on the weekend per se, but I think they played Thursday and Friday or Wednesday and Friday or something like that, losing back to back to the Lynx.
Yeah.
Now I was watching that game on Friday with the Lynx and they took it to them. I mean, it wasn't a blowout. Like, there was some close moments, but the Lynx handled business. Nafisha was, oh my gosh, she went crazy on Friday night. So,
that was the one in front of Maya, yeah? Or was that Saturday?
No, that was Saturday.
It was Saturday.
Maya was there. I don't know what's going on with Vegas. It's just a simple, the champs, are, you know, they've played a lot of basketball as well. They've had a lot of things they've had to overcome in the last couple of years. And, you know, the league's been gunning for them, you know, for a few years now. And, you know, maybe they're able to get them now. So you could look at it and say, you know, as irritated as Asia might have been, maybe this is a galvanizing win. You know, maybe this is something that gets them on track. It was definitely a much needed win, though, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if that galvanizing win is coming, but they needed it. They got it. And, you know, the season starts to wind down. Big time win for Connecticut, too. They beat New York on Saturday.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on in the W as the regular season starts to wind down a little bit. We head into the playoffs. There's some major, major storylines to follow in that league. Minnesota being one of them, Connecticut being another, and then, of course, the Aces and the Liberty.
Aces, and one of them is the baffling conundrum that is Angel Reese. And I got into it with a couple of people yesterday on Twitter because the shooting percentage was the shooting percentage again.
It's terrible.
22 rebounds on the night.
Yeah, I hate, like, Angel's a meme right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing TikToks that say, play basketball like Angel Reese, and it is just the most god-awful, like, throwing the ball against the rim, getting the rebound, throwing it over onto the other side, getting the rebound, just throwing it 10 times off the backboard, getting the rebound, and then getting a layup.
And while I see the humor in it or anything else like that, I saw something this morning from Rebecca Lobo where she had talked about, you know, a lot of people think like that's how she gets a lot of her rebounds. Because the one that was circulating yesterday was that crazy sequence in that fourth quarter where she got four offensive rebounds off of her misses. And Rebecca said this morning, I think she said, if you take away all the offensive rebounds off her own misses, she's still leading the league in offensive rebounds per game.
Mm.
She is 62 rebounds in three games. It's crazy to see. And I just look at her. I don't know how she does it because she gets the ball in the post or gets the ball in the paint, looks unbelievably unathletic.
Yep.
No type of explosion.
Even the shots that go in are like, ugh.
Yeah, like it, no type. But somehow she gets these rebounds. Like on a nightly basis, and I don't know if it works. I mean she's got a motor. She's tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a motor, and I don't think she's gonna ever be like this unbelievably efficient scorer or anything else like that. But I still think if she gets a summer with somebody and works on finishing around the basket, she gets that. I mean, we're looking at somebody that realistically could be like 17 and 15 every night.
That's crazy. Man, that's crazy.
It's so bizarre, though, seeing her, though, because she's not very athletic, and she finds a way to get these rebounds every night. Some people are like, she's brutal to watch. The offense aspect of it,
that's not true.
I understand that could be frustrating, but I was in awe yesterday when she, you know, was racking up all those rebounds.
She just has no touch.
No.
She has absolutely no touch around the rim.
Mm-mm.
It's bizarre. It's unique. Like, it's one of one. Like, I can't think of another player in the history of the league to compare her to.
Mm.
Not one.
Yeah.
I mean, great rebounders like Sill, Rebecca.
They could still finish.
Yeah, they're going to get
when they
buckets.
Were around the rim, they was going to finish.
Yeah, you know, they're all bigs, though. They're all bigger than Angel.
Yeah.
And
that's the other thing.
Angel's, you know, surrounded by them big girls down there. We saw what Brittany did to her in the first matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next one, I think she had double-digit rebounds again.
Yeah. The scary thing, though, my girls, now that was a classic Kings versus Knicks matchup yesterday. You know, the Aces, those are my girls right there. That's my team.
Mm-hmm.
That's my team. But I am a Sky supporter. I am a Sky supporter.
You got the more
Sky,
teams than Ramsey.
Well, no, I'm just a supporter. I'm just a supporter. I want to see them do well. That's they're the Knicks. They're the Knicks in this situation.
Yeah.
I want to see them do well.
Okay.
And my girls in Chicago, they better watch out. They might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, they got to be careful. They lost.
They better not. I think the Dreamer a game out.
Mm-hmm.
So
nobody wants to see the Atlanta Dream in there. Don't do that. Come on. Come on,
Kennedy.
Teaspoon, don't do this.
Come on, Cardoso. Yeah, come on, Angel.
Don't do this. A ridiculous headline was pushed out through, I'm sure it was Bleacher Report. I don't remember who. I'm positive it was Bleacher Report. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. The Lakers want Luka Doncic after LeBron James retires. I was like, all right, what are we doing now? And I look a little further. The Ringer. Huh. The Ringer. Oh, man. I bet I know who it is. Head over to Twitter. Take a quick peek. And there's your boy.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
There's your boy, Kevin O'Conn, man, talking about. I've talked about this for a while now. The Lakers, they have aggressive plans to go get Luka Doncic after LeBron James retires. So this is what sports media is now. This is what we're doing?
That's what some of these people do.
All right, man. Okay. They already had Luka photoshopped in a Lakers jersey.
Oh, those, no, those were always the...
Like, come on, man. What is this?
Almost died. But don't worry, I would have done it on the air.
Thank you. Luka almost killed. The headline would have been Luka Doncic kills Kenny Caraway.
But that was the best. Like, I don't know if you guys for like, I don't know, six straight summers, they would always have, oh, the league ain't ready for this. And it would be Carmelo in the Lakers Photoshop, Dwight Howard, LaMarcus Aldridge. And they would never get any of these guys every time. And now, I just laugh because
they got Dwight.
Well, they did. Yeah, and they got Carmelo at some point, too.
But, well,
yeah, now they're doing it with Luka.
Finally paid off. We did it.
Now they're doing it with Luka. That's
that man just went to the NBA Finals in Dallas talking about the Lakers make a. And I'm not even mad at Kevin O'Connell over this because I'm sure somebody could have been the janitor at crypto.com told him. Like, I'm sure somebody shared this with him, right? Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
but
I think it's true.
But that's the part that I find funny. Like, y'all are planning, like, this is why you guys are in the state that you're in. You're not trying to figure out how to make your team better. You're going star hunting for a star you're probably not even going to be able to get. Because what are you going to use? LeBron James is retired. Great. Let's say he retires next year. Your plan is to go after Luka Doncic. Okay? With what?
Well, my thought would
be Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis?
Well, when I read that, I'm thinking when Luka's a free agent.
That's not how this works.
I know.
The Dallas is just going to let his contract expire?
Well, I think he'd be an unrestricted free agent.
Luka's already eligible for every contract extension or every max contract in history.
I know. I think he'd be an unrestricted free agent. And they're.
Again, you think Dallas is going to let that happen?
Well,
Luka Doncic will never be an unrestricted free agent.
I don't think they'll let it happen, but. Luka may want to leave Dallas. That's the hope. I'm not saying it will work for these guys.
Rob Pelinka sitting around. No, don't worry. We're gonna get Luka in like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, look, here's the
we're gonna be a real crappy team with Luka Doncic instead of a crappy team with LeBron James.
Here's the funny thing about that though, is Luka top five most unattainable star in the game right now?
Yes.
We're looking absolutely at Wemby.
Yep.
Luka.
Wemby might as well be on Alcatraz. He was he's Allen West, the guy who was left behind in the escape. He ain't going nowhere.
Wemby, Luka, Jokic. I think you can, like, to kind of explain the exercise, I think you can build up scenarios where you can get Embiid or Giannis if you're the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not as high on that list as those three are. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if there's anybody after those. Like, you can realistically make an argument.
That might be it, because Anthony Edwards could be in a get me out of here situation. True. Like, true. That it's harder to do that with. It's harder to do that with Luka, who's still really young, has only played for Dallas, never been any rumor surrounding him wanting to get out. Yeah.
There was one weird
get out of here. About Luka?
Yeah, we heard. I don't know if it's for the streets, but remember?
You'll have to text me. I can't remember. I honestly can't remember it.
We're like, wait, what?
The Sacramento Kings were going to acquire Luka Doncic. Oh, we did hear that. Yeah. I remember. Okay, yeah.
Is that, I mean, what? No.
That's bizarre.
Do we even say that? I mean, it's not going to happen.
I mean, I don't. There's
it's not
no,
going to happen.
Well, okay, there's no reason we can't. There's no reason we can't. There's no reason we can't say it.
We heard that there was like this mutual interest between Luka and Utah. And it was like, watch out for that.
We're not really. And this is us being. This obviously wasn't on the air. This was in a. This is us being bad journalists in the moment because it was like, what?
Like, and the person that told us was like, no, I'm telling you.
Nah, that person was pretty adamant.
Like, huh?
Yeah, it was like, all right.
This was 2 years ago, not last year, the year before last.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised.
Buddy, I already am. Like, we're past the level of surprise. We're past the level of surprise.
And then they were saying it was mutual. That was the crazy part. Like, yeah, it's mutual interest.
All right. James Ham's going to join us at the top of the hour. Let's get a couple other news and notes off before Hammer gets here and we talk Kings and NBA and all of that stuff. Your Giants got a couple.
I mean, they got a couple, but it didn't really amount to anything. They didn't get the one they needed, which was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think the Braves lost to the Nationals. That would have gotten them, I think, 4 games back, maybe 3.5. I'm not sure. Giants end up losing to the Mariners. And they're kind of done. They're 5 games out of the last wild card spot. They're still like 2.5 games behind the Mets, who are in front of them. And remember around the All-Star break when I was like, yeah, you know, I'm holding out some kind of hope because everybody's saying like they've got the easiest schedule left in the second half. And like that's got to mean a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw something yesterday that now – they have the hardest schedule left in Major League Baseball.
So Major League Baseball changed their schedule?
Well, no, they got the easy teams out of the way.
Oh, man.
They played the A's, the White Sox, those teams, the Rockies like 7 times. They played all those teams already, weren't able to gain any ground, and now their remaining schedule is the hardest left in Major League Baseball.
Well, would they do 2 out of 3 against the White Sox?
Yeah, that needed to be a sweep.
They really needed to win. Yeah,
they had those 5 games, and they came out of it.
You were really asking them to win like 12 in a row, or some.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, they're finished.
All right,
they're finished as far as postseason goes. My boy Elio Ramos, though, he's been a bright spot all year. He got another home run on Friday night. Almost hit one out of it's not Safeco. I think it's T-Mobile Field. He almost hit one out of the stadium. Hit into the upper deck, it bounced and went off the back wall. If it would have bounced a little higher, it would have bounced over and out of the stadium. And then he got another one yesterday, but it's just not enough. This team's not good enough.
Speaking of home runs, man, what Aaron Judge is doing is crazy. Just absolutely nuts. Ooh. He hit 50 and 51. He hit his 18th first inning home run. He's on pace for 63. He's the 5th player to hit 50 in 3 different seasons, along with your boy Babe, Sammy, A-Rod, and Mark McGwire.
Mm.
Boy, one of those things is not like the other.
Two
of those things might not be like the other right now with what Aaron Judge is doing.
Aaron Judge is going crazy. And then seeing the 3 in a row yesterday, that was pretty cool, man. Like I said, Bronx Bombers – those are my boys. It's not my team, but I like the Bronx Bombers.
You got a Yankees hat on now.
Yeah, man. You know, shout out Aaron Judge, man. He's doing.
You are Ramsey. You've got like you've named like 9 teams today.
Bro, it's one team in each sport. One extra team in each sport. Ramsey has 4 in one sport.
Maybe he's just a supporter of some of those teams.
Nah, he a fan. He'll tell you, I'm a fan of 4 teams.
Okay.
I just, you know, when they're not playing the Giants,
mm-hmm.
I want to see them do well. Much like, you know, the A's when they'll be here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I want to see
that's hometown.
Yeah, going to be successful.
The slums of Sacramento.
Slums of Sacramento. We got to figure out where he was talking about. Do we know?
We got to play. No, but I have to pull up the clip so people like have reference of what we're talking about.
And
that's like the second time.
The Chef Monty says in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House says KC the ultimate winning bandwagon fan. When's the last time the Knicks won anything? And how long has this been going on since you met me? I've been saying, yo, I got love for the Knicks. Got love for the Knicks. When the hell are the Yankees? When the last time they won anything?
Yeah, tell them.
Nobody asked you. Settle down. No. I got love. I even like the Mets. I like the Mets, too. No, they don't like that in New York when I say that. They just don't like that. But, yeah, the Mets are cool with me.
Okay. And of course, we all know.
Okay. Lake Show. That's not one of the teams. There's no support there.
That's not what it sounds like. Let's check in with Corey Graves.
Solo taking responsibility for lifting Jacob Fatu from the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
These are probably from Granite Bay or something.
Fatu from the worst slums of Sacramento to bringing Jacob to WWE.
The worst slums. Of Sacramento.
I don't even know. I feel like we got to talk to, that was Corey, right?
Yeah, we got to talk to Corey Graves. We got to get, Corey Graves in here.
What's the word slums, big dog?
That's awesome. Where that's specifically were you talking about, sir?
So New Bloodline is clearly Sacramento. Roman, we know, is Bay Area. You guys still Roman guys?
So here's the thing.
He's a Niners fan.
Let's see. Fatu, Simone Descend, and NOI family, being the son of professional wrestler Sam Fatu. Sam lived here. So that all checks out. They had his Wikipedia is listed from San Francisco.
They always do.
But
that.
And how old is he? He's 32. I don't know how long Sam lived here, but I know Sam lived here in at least early 2000s. I feel like he'd been here for a while though.
Yeah. But he from South Sac. I'm gonna say South Sac. That's what I'm going to say. We're going to claim him. South Sac, we're going to claim him. Sorry, East.
Uh-oh. The Carfax looks like it's came back.
In an interview with somebody on November 6th, Fatu said he has 7 children. Oh. He's 32 years old.
Jacob.
Jacob got 7 kids.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Getting active. Him and Cam Newton.
All right, Jacob.
Yeah.
All right, man. Do your thing.
You know what I mean? My guess is South Sac. We got to figure that out. But we're on the map now, man. Stop playing with us.
These family trees are crazy. I'm looking at Sam. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. And, of course, we mentioned this earlier. Rikishi's his brother. Mm-hmm. Umaga's his brother. Jimmy and Jay, nephews, Solo, nephews, Naomi, daughter-in-law, or niece, that would be his niece-in-law, sorry.
Did I see correctly, or remember on the great series, Legends?
Well, it was great, tremendous series.
Is Yokozuna in the Bloodline? Was in the Bloodline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, Yoko
him and Rikishi, right?
Rikishi is, yeah, Rikishi definitely.
Well, no, I mean, were they... connected.
I think they were cousins.
Yeah, I thought I remember seeing that. Something like that.
But yeah, it was definitely mind-blowing to find out Yokozuna was Samoan.
Yeah, because I think Rikishi was on Yokozuna's episode of Icons.
Icons. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of that I watched. Rikishi from down there in Carson, California. Yeah, shout out Carson.
I brought back this The Rock and CM Punk to WWE. I'll bring back episode 3 of Icons.
So Yokozuna's uncles are Afa and Sika, who, of course, have passed away, the Wild Samoans. Mm-hmm. And it's Sika who's Roman's dad.
Wow. Yeah, that bloodline. We talk about it all the time. That's crazy. The bloodline is crazy.
And then there's Rosie. You remember Rosie? Superhero in training?
No.
I'm going to say that again. Superhero in training.
Oh, come on, man.
It was Rosie.
Why did
they had him?
Is that what they?
I think they had him paired with. I think they had him paired with Hurricane. I think they had him paired with Hurricane. But Rosie was with Jamal, who was Umaga, for the 3-minute warning. That was Rosie.
Wow. See, I was. I don't
they know. All, yeah, they all.
And then, what's her name? I know she's
the one who's not related to anyone is Dwayne. Dwayne's literally related to nobody.
Well, are they
talking
are they,
about your grandfather and my grandfather made a blood oath? Like, what? Wait, y'all ain't even. Oh, get out of here with that.
Jimmy Snuka, is he part of the bloodline?
I feel like Jimmy is actually. I feel like.
It's redacted. Well,
what's the daughter's name?
Tamia.
Yeah.
Jimmy is related to. I feel like Jimmy is related to The Rock's grandfather. Mm. I'll try to piece that together. Yeah. I'm not seeing any tie-ins with Jimmy and anyone, though. They might just be like, hey, close enough. Jimmy, you're with us. Tamina? Jimmy? Yeah, I can't find the tie-in with them.
Well.
We did the best we could. We'll come back. Well, maybe James can figure
slums
it out.
Slums of Sacramento. Maybe James knows where the slums of Sacramento are.
We got to get Corey on the show.
Worst slums of Sacramento to bringing Jacob to...
Yeah, that's getting on the board. We'll come back. It's ESPN 1320. James Hamm going to join us here at the top of the hour. Head over to MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320 to cop all of your nutritional supplements. No need to wait for the new year to get in great shape. Strength Answers are available. Fat burners, which are really helping me. The thing that's helping me the most is those cravings crushers. And then the green mixture that you can put in your drink. Get all your greens, all of your micronutrients all at once. Help keep your immune system healthy as we head into the fall, head into cold season. And, of course, there's other viruses going around, man. So this certainly couldn't hurt. And the great thing is my man Greg develops these all himself. So any questions that you have, he can answer them. Map Training and MapTrition.com. Head over to MapTrition.com and use the promo code DLO1320 for 10% off your order. Again, our man James Hamm's going to join us here at the top of the hour. We were hoping the day was going to see some movement in the National Football League as we finally saw a domino fall in Dallas. And ultimately, it just amounted to Dallas getting a deal done, and nothing really happened after that. But it was a big one. CeeDee Lamb lands his deal with the Dallas Cowboys, a 4-year, I believe it was $136 million, $100 million guaranteed, a $38 million signing bonus. It put him just below the Justin Jefferson average annual value of $35 million. CeeDee Lamb is at $34 million if you're talking about the top receivers in the league. These contracts line up. I have no problem with it. I expect Ja'Marr Chase to be in the vicinity now of $34 to $35 million. This is not where I expect Brandon Ayuk. Where these two teams are at, man, where these two entities, meaning Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers are at, I'm not really sure, but I really hope we find out soon because preseason is over, training camp is going to be wrapping up, and it's not going to be too long before all of their attention is going to be on the New York Jets September 9th and Monday Night Football.
And to be honest with you, I mean, that's probably where it's at right now. You know, you talk about game planning, you talk about implementing a game plan.
And probably some roster cuts and stuff like that that are happening right now.
Yeah, for sure. But it's time. It's time to focus on what you have to do for your season. And we talk about this on in the 49ers aspect. I think we talked about this before. And look, if you can get a player like Brandon Ayuk, you just figure it out. But I mean, somebody like Pittsburgh, like they're trying to plan for a season as well. And I'm not saying they would turn down a deal now for Brandon Ayuk or anything like that. But like, all right, well, what are you doing? Because we're trying to get a season going. We're in a little bit of a tougher situation where every game matters. If you're going to be here, like let's get you here. Let's get you implemented in what we're trying to do because we got to hit the ground running. And I wonder if they're looking at it like, how long are we just going to be kind of used as pawns in this situation or held up from what we're trying to do because they haven't figured it out? Once again, not saying they'd back out of the deal, but it feels a little unfair to them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of the waiting game now because as ESPN told us, Trent Williams, the quote I believe was will not budge. And I don't know if that's in terms of I'm so fascinated as to what the conversation might be between San Francisco and Trent Williams' agents. But it was stated directly. Jesse asked the question earlier, so what happens if this isn't done with Brandon Ayuk? Does he just show up and play? Does he play on this final year? Like, how does this work? And it became clear this morning, Trent Williams will not. They need to get this done probably relatively soon for Trent Williams to be active in that September 9th game against the New York Jets. And that was another question we posed, like, is there a deadline on this to where, you know, you talk about you're trimming rosters, creating spots, doing all the things that you have to do at this unfortunate time of year where guys get cut from teams. You're seeing a lot of trades today. You're probably going to see a lot over the course of the next couple of days as things get trimmed down to the final 53. And then, like, I'm sure there is a focus on the Jets right now. I'm sure there's a lot of game planning, but I also think the cutting of the roster is at the forefront of everyone's mind, the position charts, the depth charts, and all of that. Mm-hmm. But once that's done, that's it. Yeah. It is the New York Jets.
Right.
It is Monday Night Football. It is the season moving ahead. And if you're San Francisco, there does have to be a point where it's like, hey, we really want both of you here. We've got to get ready for this game, and we need to start planning like you're not going to be here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when that might be. And I don't know if it's the same day for Brandon Ayuk as it is for Trent Williams.
Right.
I don't know if Trent is just, okay, Trent's back. Well, Saturday, the game's in 2 days. It's Trent Williams. It's fine.
Right.
It's fine. And that very well could be true. It could be true for Brandon Ayuk, too. I don't like that idea for either one of them. Darrelle Revis is always the guy that comes to mind. The New York Jets, Hard Knocks, big final scene of the entire scene. Darrelle Revis gets his deal done. Ah! Four weeks later, his
what did they say? What did
they say? Well, I'm sure it was the Jets, so Rex Ryan was probably cussing up a storm. But 4 weeks later, his hamstring's in two,
yeah. And
it's done. And I don't want to see that for either one of these. Obviously, Trent Williams, it's a little bit different. We saw the slow start that Nick Bosa got off to. Was it a coincidence? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Was it related to the holdout? Maybe. I don't know. If he's there and he's working, you can't say it was the holdout. You just say, oh, he had a rough start to the season. Mm-hmm. But I would guess that slow start from Nick Bosa last year is probably lurking in a lot of 49ers fans' minds right now.
Yeah, and you know, ironically, because I agree with you, like, you, Trent Williams, a couple days before, gets out there and signs a deal. All right, get out there, big fella, you already know mm-hmm. what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically enough, it feels like his position would be the position where you need some time to gel, as opposed to Brandon Ayuk's, right? Brandon Ayuk's, wide receiver, you know the routes, you know what you're supposed to do. You know,
I work.
Gets thrown to you, catch it. But like the cohesion and the chemistry that an offensive line would need, it seemed like you would want some weeks to get that down. But I'm with you. If Trent Williams watching week one on Sunday and it's like, you know what, I just want to play. And all right, you'll be
just
in there.
Shows up.
You'll be there Monday.
Just takes
you're
it.
Good.
Just hops on JetBlue and gets to.
Yeah, gets there for Monday night, then we're good.
Thing I worry about with those guys, it's not the routes, it's not the connection, it's not the chemistry. It's that no matter how hard, like you were talking earlier, basketball, when we were talking about the Anthony Edwards situations and the guys who do the drills with the cones and the basketball and you're dribbling, you're doing all of this. And like, when are you ever going to implement that in a game? It's like, I don't know, whatever. You're out there moving though. When you're training, when you're doing cone drills, when you're doing sprint drills, when you're doing pad drills, when you're doing all of that stuff, it doesn't have the same effect as the instinctual reaction of being a football player. In Trent's case, the instinctual reaction of being on the line or having to make a cut because what a workout partner is doing in front of you, but because of what a guy who is very highly paid at their position also knows about the game and is trying to do. Right. And you make motions in those settings that you can't replicate in workouts.
Right.
That's where I'm fearful that people get hurt, is there are certain moves in sports that just can't be replicated in practice. And I think when you got a big dude like Trent Williams and then another big dude lined up across from him, you can't replicate those movements. Right. Brandon Ayuk, the adrenaline. We're also talking Monday Night Football. You've got the stage to yourself. And you know everyone's watching because of the dude who's over there. And you're the San Francisco 49ers, right? Yeah. So it's kind of a double. It's a double whammy of everyone. Opening weekend, it's the 49ers, and it's that dude. Oh, they're going to be locked in.
Yeah.
And you have a little extra adrenaline, and maybe you hit a gear that you can't hit it. You physically cannot hit in practice. Mm-hmm. But you can hit it out there on the field. And you haven't done it yet. And then all of a sudden, you're Darrell Revis.
Well,
and your hamstring is in,
as long as they neither one of them go up against Randy Moss, they'll be all right.
No.
Damn, Randy. They was like, oh, Revis Island. Oh, Randy, one-on-one with Revis. Choo-choo. Gone. Out of a one hand. Revis, ah, ah.
That's what you got to do. That's the old Deion Sanders. Ah, my leg. And then the miraculous recovery when the ball is overthrown.
And then you say, nope.
Yeah, then you celebrate. No, I got to find that clip. That was one of the greatest clips in the history of sports. Deion Sanders tells his hamstring in 4 million pieces. Ball's overthrown. Walks back to the line of scrimmage just fine. We're not going to have time today. We could talk about Deion's behavior tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Deion. I do wonder. I will talk about it tomorrow. I do wonder why people are so down on Colorado, but we'll talk about it.
Speaking of, I got like, Florida and Georgia Tech, Florida State and Georgia Tech.
Oh, that was great stuff to see.
To start the season was terrific.
I was hyped about. Usually I don't really be tripping off the Ireland game too much, but I was ready to see it, man. And that was a great finish. That was a great finish. Georgia Tech with the upset. DJU. Man, I thought he was going to be the next one out of Bosco. He hasn't been able to get it done anywhere he's gone. He had a good year last year in Oregon State, but a bad start with Florida State on Saturday.
Did you just give up on the last name?
Ugalele, I think it is. But that's what they kept calling. That's what Jesse Palmer kept calling him.
He couldn't say it either.
DJU. I was like, I think that's what I'm going to do, is call him DJU. But, what a great start.
Hope that's not like OJS.
What a great start, man. I end up watching I watched three games that day. I was watching Montana State and New Mexico because, you know, I got to keep an eye on the ops. You know what I mean? Always got to keep an eye on the ops. And New Mexico was working them boys out. It was going to work on Montana State. I was like, okay, yeah. Only real Big Sky goes into these D1 stadiums and wins. And then Montana State came back and won. So I watched that one, and then I watched SMU in Nevada. That was another great finish and a great game, man.
So, I didn't watch that. I didn't see any of that one.
Yeah, I was checking that one out because there wasn't really much else on. I mean, WNBA was on. Giants had played earlier in the day, so there wasn't much else on. So I was like, let me watch SMU in Nevada. Watch that game. It was funny to see. So everybody knows here in the region and the West Coast, we had a cool weekend, right? Mm-hmm. I even saw some raindrops or whatever. The Nevada game.
No raindrop. Did it not rain where you were?
Yeah.
It rained like hell out here.
Oh, it didn't rain like hell. It was some raindrops where I was.
Nah, it rained for real out here.
Wow. Yeah, we just had some raindrops. But I was watching Nevada. Man, it looked like October 23rd out there. They was bundled up, beanies, hoodies. I was like, what is going on? But that was a good finish. SMU got that win. And it's just a primer for this weekend. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Starting on Thursday, I can't wait. And it's true, I'm sad about the Pac-12. Oh, I'm sad that they're going to a 12-team playoff because, you know, these games won't matter anymore. It's never going to be the same or whatever. It's damn near all out the window. I'm hyped for college football. Let's go. Let's get it. And somebody asked, and I want to say, the college football pick'em is back. If you were in the league last year, it's already lined up. Go make your picks or whatever the case may be. If you're trying to get in the league, I'll send the link out on Twitter so you can lose to your boy in college football pick'em. And you know what that means. NFL pick'em is back as well. The D'Lo and KC NFL pick'em challenge is back as well. Once again, if you were in the league last year, You're already in. Don't worry about it. If you want to get in, I'll send out the link, and you guys can lose to me on that as well. It is going up.
So does he make his picks beyond week 9 this season? That'll be the over-under, week 9. How do we feel about week 9?
I'm going all the way through. I'm winning. What are you talking about?
Have you ever won any of these?
I think I came in third in the
That's not
the
winning. Have you ever won any of these?
The bracket challenge, I was doing pretty
good. Have you ever won?
Oh, we've only done like 2 of them.
Two? What do you... You've done like 9 of them. You just have only finished 2 of them.
You ain't first, you're last.
See? Goodness gracious.
James can get in the Pick'em Challenge. You know, anybody can get in the... I'm gonna send the link out on Twitter. I'm going to get that done today, hopefully. And, yeah, Ramsey was in there. Ramsey somehow... So I think Ramsey already made his picks. I went in there yesterday. I was like, oh, let me make sure everything's activated on the college Pick'em. Ramsey was the only one there was, like, locks on his thing. Like, he didn't already made his picks or something.
That's a Ramsey thing to do. That's a very Ramsey thing to do. I could see that. Like, he he got them done, like, Sunday morning.
Right.
He wins the belt almost every day. Every day he's the first one in the chatty house.
First one.
Clemson and Georgia this weekend, man. Traditional Akron Open.
Look, well, you know how you guys like to do. There's a tweet out right now. There's a tweet out right now. Mm-hmm. I got to read the story. It said, how Ohio State built a $20 million national championship or bust roster. These guys are just buying anything. I'll tell you, boy, it's crazy. Is there any dignity? Is there any pride in their Columbus at all? Do they even go to the school? They just out here buying free agents, man. It's crazy. And they still going to lose when they play us the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
And the crazy part about that in college football, everything they're doing is legal.
Man, come
but
on.
I understand that.
Hey, we
Ann Arbor and them dudes wouldn't know anything about that.
We're gonna raise that banner on Saturday. I know that much. Shout out Fresno State. Y'all gonna have to lose. We're gonna raise that banner on Saturday.
Only because the NCAA realized how stupid it was to take banners away.
No, because we're the champions. That's why we're gonna raise the banner.
Okay.
And if we can fit it in, Kenny's what was the name of it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Kenny's
Cash Caraways.
Cash Caraway, that's what it was.
It's coming back on Friday, baby. I already got the three games. You're going to make some money if you're listening to me. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Have you ever actually made money doing this?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
No, because you can't bet. You can't gamble in California.
Good call.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.